Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Sun Leaders Podcast. I am this episode's host, Eric Nutting, co-owner of the Growth Coach of St. Petersburg, Florida, and the creator of the Sage Approach. Today's guest is Daniel Mastrodonato, and we have our title for this episode, Leading with Heart, a conversation on leadership and inclusivity. So let's just get right to it. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Eric.
You and I are in several networking groups together. You have one of the most memorable monikers that we get to kind of have fun with, and I want everybody to be able to hear that. So if you would take just a moment to tell everybody who you are and what you do, let's have it.
Absolutely. Well, Eric, as you know, I am Dan, your payroll man with Landmark Payroll, and obviously I'm in payroll, time and attendance, and I work with business owners to make their lives a little bit more enjoyable, you know, outsourcing their most expensive commodity.
So henceforth, for the rest of this show and maybe all of eternity, we will refer to you as Dan.
That sounds wonderful. That's what I go by these days.
In fact, if I remember, I sang a little impromptu jingle on your voicemail yesterday.
You did?
Yes, you did. Yes, just off the top of my head. That sort of creativity is going to be flowing this whole conversation.
Actually, it was quite amazing.
So you and I spoke a little bit. I'm hosting this show. You are thinking of hosting a show as well, but you're kind of on the fence now on whether you want to actually move forward with this or not. So let's speak about the what if. If you were to host a show, and I hope you do, because I want your voice to be part of this community and part of this dialogue, what would your show be about?
My show would definitely be about DEI, diversity, equality, and inclusion in the workplace, and does it really exist in 2024? I did have one guest that I spoke to recently about it, and even the younger generation does not feel that there is equality, especially in the LGBT market, arena.
So yes, you have an episode that's coming out in just a few days,
Right.
You're already in. We're just going to, like, on the mic, while these mics are hot, we're just going to corner you in this little room and go, you're in.
That's fair.
All right?
Yes.
And you and I are going to work out the details later on it,
You'll have to help me work out the details, because that was one of the reasons that I just could not sleep.
But here in front of America and the world, you're committing to doing this.
Absolutely.
All right.
Super. Absolutely.
So now let's talk about why this is so important, because you and I, as we mentioned, maybe we're in four or five different networking groups right now together. And this is not a new topic for me, but it's a topic that needs focus. We hear so many groups talk about inclusivity, right? But sometimes it feels like the opposite. And I don't mean to be a jerk about this, but I go into so many groups and I see just a bunch of white men. That's got to change.
That you will. You're right.
But I know that more people are doing business. It's just getting us to do all be in the same space together and have the same thought processes and know that everybody can be in their arena, the same arena. I don't want people to think they're not welcome. That's one of the reasons the Sun Leaders thing exists, which is one of the cool things we've got going on right now.
Right. We sure do.
Let's break this down. Where do you think we're failing in diversity and inclusivity?
Well, obviously the world has changed over the last 8-10 years, both climate and political. Our country itself is truthfully going backwards with every...
It feels like it.
It really does. Going backwards with race, with religion, with sexuality, and it's discomforting because I've been around for a while, and I grew up in the 80s, okay, 80s and 90s, and coming out back then I thought was difficult. And speaking to my friends that are in their 20s, asking them that same question, how was coming out for you in 2020 and beyond? And they said, incredibly difficult. And I don't understand that. I would have thought that in a 30-year, 40-year span, that the world, and if not the world, maybe America, would have accepted diversity, since we are the land of the free, but a lot of us don't feel it.
There's so much here to dig into.
Mm-hmm.
When we think of people being able to truly be who they are, in this case, we're talking about coming out, there's two places we have to come out, aren't there? To our closest family members, if they're not aware of it or if that dialogue hasn't started, and then to the greater society.
Correct.
And you and I are in this business sphere, so that's kind of one of the things we're talking about. But let's start at the first step, coming out to our closest loved ones. Has that process changed? Do we even know? Has society gotten better so that conversation's easier? Where are we at there?
The conversation is not any easier, but I want to throw a wrench in this.
Okay.
I think there's three steps or okay. three stages.
Great.
Number one is coming out to yourself.
Mm.
And that is the hardest, no matter how old you are, no matter whether you're white or black or male or female, transgender, it's accepting who you are because of all the exposure. I don't want to say exposure. That's not right. All of the stimuli that we get from society, and it's a white-dominated world, okay? White female, white male-dominated world, straight-dominated world, and we often have an issue with that. And so we're like, my thought process when I came out was, am I going to fit in? Am I going to be looked at as being completely different? I know I'm the same person, but now that I tell someone that I'm different or gay or whatever, am I going to be treated differently? So I think that's the first hurdle, and maybe even a bigger hurdle than coming out to close friends and family. I will say, depending on the family member, depending on the age of that family member, it could be a piece of cake. When I came out to my mom, mothers know their children best. And she said to me, because she knew exactly how nervous I was the day that we spoke, she said, if you're going to tell me that you're gay, I am okay with that. And I have known for a long time.
Yeah.
And jokingly, I said to her and gave her a big hug and we started crying. Of course, I said, Mom, this is wonderful. You made it so easy for me. I can't wait to tell Dad. And then she says, well, now that is a different story, Dan. You're going to have a little bit more of a challenge with him because he grew up differently. He grew up differently. Dad is first generation American.
Okay.
Here. And Grandma and Grandpa were from Italy. But Mom was, second generation. So their family had more, I guess you would say, more exposure to all of the identities in America, where Dad's didn't. So he was a little bit more close-minded in the beginning.
Okay.
Coming out to coworkers, today I hear that it's much easier because it's almost accepted. It's much more accepted now when you're coming out to coworkers and friends, okay?
I think maybe sometimes it starts with friends before family.
I think
family.
You should start with friends. You know what? I did that. I came out to a couple of very, very close friends. I'm like, I'm going to try this out on you. This is basically what I said. I'm going to try this out on you. Tell me what you think. If you hate me, I'm okay with that. And of course, not one of them felt anything different about me. I was the exact same person before the conversation as I was after the conversation. That was easy. So I had some really great starter friends that, you know, really made that conversation doable for me without, you know, trembling or you know, running to the bathroom because I was sick. But again, it just depended. When some parents are not open to that, especially growing up as a very strict Catholic. My dad was much more strict as a Catholic than my mom, and I think a lot of times religion gets in the way of people's
for
thoughts.
For sure. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
How old were you when you told your mom?
I was 19.
19.
I mean, I knew for a long time before, okay. And obviously she did too.
So let's back up. Yeah. When you talk about three stages, the first step is really kind of coming to terms with who you are.
Right.
When did that happen for you?
I realized that I was different. And I use that term loosely.
Yeah.
Different. When I was 12 years old.
12.
And I saw myself looking at both boys and girls, but equally. And I thought, oh, you know, this is kind of cool. I'm like, Like, I'm going to be one of those cool kids that don't discriminate, you know, because I experienced discrimination at a very young age because my best friend was African American. But we could talk about that on another podcast. So it was, 12 years old, and I realized that I fought it every single day. And I fought it every single day until I was 19. I went through the ritual of having a girlfriend, getting engaged, almost going to the altar, and then realizing I do not want to ruin this beautiful soul's life by marrying her, maybe having children, and then coming out later when I already know that I'm gay. So I broke that off. At least I knew enough not to ruin somebody else's life. Not that my life was ruined, okay? It wasn't ruined at all. But I didn't want to, you know, inflict any pain on someone else, okay? And so after I told my now ex-fiance, I went right to mom and then obviously to dad, but it was different.
How much time between your mother and your father?
Oh, I waited a couple months because mom promised me that she would speak to dad to confirm his thoughts as well and to basically prep him. I don't want you to think that he was by any way a mean, you know, like immigrant father. He was just very religious, set in his ways, wanted his boys to be boys and his girls to be girls, but straight.
Sure.
He did not fancy me when I even came out to him. It took him a very, very long time, but he asked me to give him time. He said, I love you. I don't accept this right now, but give me some time to process this. And when I mean time, it was a couple of years. So there was a lot of conversations that we didn't have when I was first in my new, I don't want to say my new role, when I was out.
Right.
Okay. Mom was my best friend through it, you know, from day one.
Yeah.
So.
And I guess we've known each other just a little over a year now. And that's been a big loss for you recently. And I...
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's coming up on a whole year.
Yeah.
February 16th is going to be 1 year.
And now sharing your story with me,
yeah,
I really do feel that.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm so grateful for your family, you know? And just even the fact that your dad was able to have that conversation with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I mean, we've always, you know, I've always had open, very open communication with both mom and dad. I mean, sometimes awkwardly open, where people wouldn't speak to their parents or have conversations that we did. But we were close in age. I mean, dad was 19 when I was born, and mom was 20. So, I mean, really, they were kind of kids
right
when they had me. And then, of course, growing up with them, we were very close mother-father bond, but also very close friends. I mean, we really did a lot together.
But I tell you, I think you and I could probably talk for hours.
I'm sure.
And I do want to move this forward as we think, you know, community and leadership, but I want to just spend a little more time here. We talk about these three phases, but now we have Catholicism. Do we come out four times? What is our relationship then with our belief system, with God? Do we have to reconcile anything? How does that work for you specifically? And where are you at now with your faith in Catholicism?
This is going to be a terrible cop-out, but the Catholic Church made it very easy to come out because they were so flawed. Mm. They are still flawed.
And they're trying to make advances right now,
and they're
right?
trying to make advances. But speaking of the word advances, there were so many priests back in the 90s and in the early 2000s that, I mean, just hundreds of thousands of priests. And I blame that on mankind, because if you go back in history, even to, 500 AD, priests and nuns were all allowed to marry back then. And then someone came up with this harebrained idea that they must be celibate, and the human body is not a celibate body. And then all of these things throughout the ages and these secrets throughout the ages, I mean, stuff was happening, you know, as early as, like, you know, 501 AD, scarily so, and hid for so many years until somebody was brave enough to expose the priests. I had gone to one Catholic school. My brother and sister went to two different public schools. So there was basically three churches that we would go to rotating in our family, all Catholic, and all three of their priests were indicted for sexual misconduct with boys, all three of them. Mm. My brother was an altar boy. I chose not to. I just didn't want to be one. And one of the questions that my father asked him was, did anything ever happen to you? And my brother, being a macho kid, and I'll have to use the words carefully because we're speaking to the public, was, if they ever came and touched me, I would have them right up. So, beep them right up. Beep them right up. So, praise God that nothing ever happened to him.
But, yeah.
I saw it in their mannerisms and in their conversation and their eyes because I was already gay. And I guess you have a sense of somebody else that's gay. And I never said anything, of course, because you respect your priests and,
sure,
and your nuns in school.
So that speaks to kind of my thought process or my question on Catholicism. Where do we fit in with God with this?
Did I have to reconcile with God? No. And the reason I do not feel that I had to reconcile is because I firmly believe that God would not have made any of us if he did not love us. And it doesn't matter if we're gay, straight, rich, poor, white, black, trans male, trans female. I believe that God loves every single being. So that part was easier for me. I guess coming out to God was the easiest of all three, stages.
See, I think that's a huge message and why I want your voice in the conversation. People need this. People need to know this,
It takes living through it to understand it, to be able to speak about it.
Right, 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 right.
Thank you for tuning in to episode 5 of the Naaman Creative Show. Do you like what you're hearing? Have you been thinking about starting your own podcast for your business? Well, we here at Naaman Creative can help with our audio services ranging from custom music scores, sound branding, to podcast production, and so much more. We can elevate your business needs with our audio services. So feel free to reach out to us today, and we'll be happy to help you get something started right away.
So, I do want to move forward and talk about where we should be responsible in the community and as leaders, but I'm going to allow you a chance to give a quick little shout out. You have some very happy news to share that you share in our inner circles, but I know that you are
engaged.
Yes, engaged.
Yes, engaged.
Quick shout out.
Shout out to my future husband, Douglas Jackson. Oh my God. Get rid of it.
Sorry. No, don't get rid of it.
Don't get rid of it.
It's not, but we got the wrong Doug.
Douglas Gladys,
yeah,
with Be Glad Gardens.
Who is a beautiful soul.
Who's a beautiful soul.
They both are, but we've got.
They both are.
Yeah.
And the other one is doing some work for me right now and absolutely not related to my Douglas at all.
That's so funny. But yeah, congratulations on that. That's
Thank
pretty
you.
Awesome.
Thank you. I'm really excited.
Okay. So first I want to talk about this crazy world that you and I live.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to get to the connecting to the community
okay.
part. You and I hustle. Oh, and my gosh, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If I see you in almost everything I'm at, then I know you're at a lot more than I am. And you keep me up on the groups that you're in. You and I both are part of some really dynamic groups
mm-hmm.
that I'm excited about. You and I just joined a board here at Sunken Gardens. I'm excited about that.
I'm delighted. Yes.
But I was speaking to you yesterday on the phone, and you said, Eric, I've got so much going on. I don't know. Maybe it's too much. And I feel that in my own world every day. So how do we shrink this world a little bit and still get to everything we need to get to? Because I'm a solopreneur currently. I own the business with my wife, but I pretty much, she's out working the day job
right.
so I can do what I do.
Right.
How big is your organization? Are you on your own? Talk to me about your business structure.
Well, our business structure is, we do have just a little over 100 employees across the country, but I am what you would call a soul practitioner, not a soul practitioner, a soul, yeah, I'm practicing.
Pretty
okay,
much.
I'm practicing. A soul practitioner for Landmark Payroll in Florida, which means that I run the market, okay, according to corporate, but it is my market. It's my state. I own, I guess you would say, the client, so it's my book of business. But if I were to walk away, I would just sell the book of business to Landmark.
Gotcha.
So being a sole, I guess you can say entrepreneur, I have a back office, though. I've got support staff, all right? So my primary role, I have two roles. I am a salesperson or a consultant, and I am also a mentor or a customer service representative, because we need to make certain that our clients are happy all of the time so that they do not leave us. And that is where we tote our customer service values that we speak of every time, or that I speak of every time I'm out there in the community.
Okay.
But I've added a lot on my plate, including the wedding.
Yes.
Okay. And like I said, as of yesterday when we spoke, I just felt that I'm really spread. And I think what really concerned me was, too, is that I missed a very important deadline to be on my own podcast.
Gotcha.
With my own guest.
Well, I can definitely help with that.
Okay.
And it's my pleasure to do so, because I do want you involved in this. But my question to you is, why do we do this to ourselves? Why do we say yes to so many things? Why?
Eric, we always want to be better. I mean, it seems like we continually strive to be better than we were yesterday, not as good as we're going to be tomorrow. And we think that, well, you're a pleaser, I'm a pleaser. We say yes, I think, to too many things. I know that I do.
Hmm.
I'm often accused of just, you know, putting others before myself, but that's how I am. I am that way. I am a giver. I don't give to get. It'll naturally come back, but that's not my intent when I'm, you know, with someone. So I will overextend myself a lot, sometimes, you know, to my own demise, you know, where I've taken very little care of myself, but so good of care to someone else, or let's just say another business or so. So I keep adding things to the plate so that I can be better than I was yesterday.
Gotcha.
And I almost felt that I had taken on too much.
Sure.
But I think that, as we were speaking earlier, I need to learn better to compartmentalize everything. I have to literally say it out like that.
Yeah.
Literally everything, so that I can do everything that is listed on my calendar and not miss important deadlines.
Right. So you spoke to something that I just ran a group coaching session, and it's servant leadership. Everything that you just explained really speaks to servant leadership.
Right.
So here you and I are a part of this amazing Sun Leaders community, and we're talking about how to be good leaders, how to cultivate good leaders, what are we responsible for? And I think a lot of that connects with the thought process of servant leadership. But now we have to think about, are we doing a good job? Are we now getting to this thought process of including everybody?
Right.
Are we excluding people and not even knowing it? Do we have to be proactive in how we do this? Talk me through where we should be, because you and I were sitting in a meeting a couple months ago, and this is where it really hit me. You said, listen, we've got a committee for this, but it's in name only. We need to actually put some muscle behind it.
Right, right.
Paint a picture for us, our listeners and myself and this amazing group. Lead us. What are we supposed to be doing here?
We have to be intentional. We have to want to help others. We have to want to make others feel that they're included. When I say intentional, is we have to walk the talk that we're preaching. It even goes to the political landscape, is if you're going to say something, mean it. Don't say something with the intent that you're going to earn someone's trust or vote because it's something that they want to hear. I think that we have to, if we're going to commit to something, then we have to follow through with it.
Okay?
Being intentional is going out there and including certain groups within our organization or our circle. Okay, I want to give you an example. All right. You and I are in a group, okay, here in St. Pete. And when you look around the table, it's very, very white. Very white. So white that it makes me uncomfortable. I'm in a group that you're not that has three times the amount of people. We have one African American. It's not that we intentionally ignore them. I invite on purpose everyone.
Is it?
Anyone of color, anyone of religion, etc. Because I would love to see way more diversity, even in networking. I know that, you know, put aside the diversity within the city of St. Pete, where it's often talked about but never followed through with, I want to see that on smaller levels. I'd love to see that on smaller levels.
Right.
Okay. The diversity, the equality, the inclusion. Okay. So it just takes the effort from one person, and hopefully it's contagious and it's passed on to another person. You and I, for example, we're intentional when we do things. We love to do things for other people. We love to empower these other people. And I think that if there were more people, I don't want to say like us, but more, maybe more of us out there in the community. And there are, I know that. The Sun Leaders is absolutely phenomenal with that. But we have to go out there and do something about it. We just can't say it.
And to this point, you are working on creating a group, or you have created it, and it's moving forward, LGBTQ plus chamber.
Yes, we have.
Where are we at on that?
We are to the point where we are now meeting with my favorite attorney, and that is why I said his name, Douglas Jackson.
The other Doug.
Not my fiance, but my attorney, Douglas Jackson, on drawing up some articles for this association that we've created. We've created an LGBT2B+, okay, and that plus for the audience is for our allies, because without our allies, we wouldn't be anywhere, okay? And we have gotten to the point where we're up to enough members to form an association and then draw articles and then move to the next level, because eventually we would like to be the St. Petersburg LGBT2B+ Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
And you're going to ask me, I know you are, doesn't Tampa have that? And I would say to you, yes, but they're not all-inclusive. We are.
How is this possible? How do we have these groups that aren't all-inclusive? But anyway, we don't necessarily, well, maybe we'll get into that. Depends on our time, but we need one here anyway.
We do.
We're an awesome freaking community.
Right.
And
right.
I don't mean to be territorial about it, but I am. I want this place to be, to continue. If we're talking about evolution, which you just were.
Right.
And we
right.
want to be better tomorrow than we are in this moment, then I want our community to continue to grow and build the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think that something like that is important.
Right.
Because we have this really thriving business community here.
Oh, we do.
We have a hugely thriving chamber, the St. Pete Chamber, which both you and I are.
Mm-hmm.
We probably met there. And that's what I envision the LGBTQ plus, but you call it LGBT2, one more time?
That's okay. It's LGBT2B.
B2B. Gotcha.
And then obviously that plus is for our allies.
Gotcha. Okay. So that's exciting to me.
Thank you.
Where do you see that chamber or that community taking us as a community? Is that going to be a chance to come together as a tribe so we feel safe and then go back out into the world? What's our end game here?
Well, our end game, again, through the help of my favorite attorney, will be determined. What I would like to see is just a safe place for people to go, whether we have brick and mortar, whether we're meeting in locations, you know, in and around St. Pete, but just younger people, middle-aged people, older people that just need a place to go and hang out with like-minded individuals. We want to go back to the basics. We just want anyone in the LGBT community to feel that they've got somewhere to go. And then we also want our allies, which is the straight community, to know how much we love and care for them, and that without them, we wouldn't survive. I mean, it all goes hand in hand. It's just, you know, working together with everyone within our community.
Yeah.
All people. So,
you know, my last conversation was with Whitney
mm-hmm.
Smith, and I talked to her about women in leadership. And one of my questions to her was, what barriers are in the way right now for women? So I'm going to ask you the same question. And I really struggle, and I don't know how else to say, you know, I've got these kids. Now, they're old now. And Diane, I always go, we've got 5 children, but I want to call them something other than children. I guess they're 5 humans now. You know, they're not
right.
children anymore.
Right.
And so I struggle the same way with this thought process of different, in quotation marks. Oh, that's not inclusive. That's not inclusive talk or phraseology, whatever. So my question to you is, for the community that you have a heart for, that you're focused on, what are the roadblocks? What are the barriers right now for that community? How do we break down those barriers?
Prejudice, racism. I mean, it's there are barriers that have never really completely come down.
Will they?
I hope so. I mean, I interviewed a young man a couple weeks ago, almost 40 years my junior.
Liam.
One of my favorite people as well. So see, well, there we go. We have a lot in common again.
Guys, listen to this interview if you get the chance. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah, please do. Thank you. And I asked him if it was any easier in 2022 when he came out, and did he feel accepted? And he said, absolutely not.
Ah.
And again, I'm 40 years older, so I don't think it's any easier today than it was, and we still have the same issues. I will say, and I don't even want to go down the road, I'm just going to mention this, is our political landscape influences a lot of that prejudice and hatred.
Interesting, because right mm-hmm. Florida is changing. It's changing almost every election cycle.
It's starting to get better. I want to say it's getting better. It's starting to get better.
Okay, I'm happy to hear that.
I think. I don't know. I mean, you can ask some of my friends and they, you know, they feel just as isolated as they, you know, as they did 20, 30 years ago here in Florida. But
I don't want anyone to feel isolated. The part of the work I do, you know, I'm a business coach, but I was and am a life coach. That's really where I say I help human beings in business.
Mm-hmm.
I think most challenges in business are human being problems. I don't want anyone to not feel like they have a voice. I don't want anyone to lose hope. It's one of our greatest challenges on this human walk. If we don't have hope, it's very difficult to move forward. That's why you're seeing generations become disenchanted and disengaged. We're not going to have a thriving society if we don't change that problem.
Agreed.
So I think we have to your point, be deliberate and vigilant.
I agree.
In this process.
I agree.
And I want to tell the listeners, we're not a couple of white guys picking on white people. You know, I'm saying everybody. We love everybody.
Everybody.
So that's what we're saying about exclusivity. We
right.
should not be excluding anyone, including
right.
white people.
Right.
I'm just saying I've had a pretty easy
path. I understand. And it's funny that you say that because people think that I've had a pretty easy path. But, you know, my obstacle was I'm a little bit different because I'm gay.
Yeah.
Okay. But I am okay with it. And that's all that matters right now.
Yeah.
So, but I want other people to feel comfortable as well. That's a goal.
For sure. So what can we as Sun Leaders do? What do you see our community doing?
The Sun Leaders?
Yeah.
What they can do is what they have been doing, going out into the community. Okay. Sharing their talents of inclusivity, sharing their talents of getting people involved, getting like people to come to the table, but then having the open-mindedness to, you know, accept everyone. I mean, we have such a diversity in our Sun Leaders group. What I'm finding is that all of the good traits from all the wonderful people are rubbing off on everybody. And it's beautiful to see that as the group continues to grow, we're more and more alike and not cult-like or anything like that. I mean, true leaders in the community. We have some very, very, very strong people and some leaders. I just think we have to continue branching out. I mean, that's why we talked about this Sun Leaders going national, and Josh wants it to go international, which it would be beautiful if it did.
Be pretty cool.
Yeah.
We have just a few minutes, so maybe just a few questions, and then I want to give you a few moments, then I'll close it out. So my first question is, this contract that you and I just committed to of having you continuously be a host and have these 12 awesome episodes, because the whole world listened to that contract. So my question to you is, where do you want your programs to go? Who are some people you want to interview? What message do you want to get out there through your show?
Well, the message is still the same. You know, I want to speak to all types of people, okay, a very diverse people, and seek out if they feel that there is diversity and equality and inclusion in the workplace, whether they're a white male, a white female, a straight male, a straight female. I need 11 very diverse people for my platform in the next 11 months, and then we could talk about the schedule.
So then the next question is, do you have a dream guest?
I don't. Everyone that I've thought of having has accepted. We just haven't picked dates.
We just got to pick dates.
We just have to pick dates, and I have to commit to those dates, Eric, but I don't have a dream guest.
That's fine.
I wish I did. I don't.
Where can I be helpful?
You can help me put all of my fears aside that I can make the 11 months happen with guests and stay on a schedule.
Easy peasy. Lemon
squeezy.
That's
my challenge. That's my challenge today.
You and I just have to carve out a little bit of time to sit down. We'll get it sorted out.
Challenge accepted.
Sweet.
Oh, that's not a challenge. No, you're the challenge. You're accepting the challenge. I'm not. I'm presenting you the challenge.
It's a partnership. We're both accepting it. So, Dan the Payroll Man, it's been delightful to have this conversation. We see each other so much, but we don't really get a chance. We don't make the time to do this too often.
We don't have deep conversations. It's
no.
A lot of surface talk because we're coming and going.
Just moving.
We're coming and going.
Just moving.
Yep.
All right. So I want you to tell our listeners who you are, what you do, how to get a hold of you, and then I'll close it out.
Absolutely. Thank you, Eric. Thank you very much for this episode. Again, I am Dan, your payroll man, or sometimes Daniel Mastrodonato with Landmark Payroll. You can call me at 727-455-8547. You can email me at daniel@landmarkpayroll.com, or you can scream really loud and I'll come running.
All right. Thank you for that, Dan, off to the left of me, who I referred to a couple times, Jordan. Thank you for being here and getting us through this. Just tell our listeners out there, Sun Leaders, we're a vibrant group of individuals from diverse backgrounds. I hope we spoke to that a little bit today. We meet in person twice a month on the first and third Fridays here at the Florida Nest in beautiful St. Petersburg, Florida. We meet at 12:30 to 2 o'clock. There's always lively conversations. When we say membership, this is what you have to do to be a member of the Sun Leaders. You have to show up. You have to get engaged. There is no fee. There might be some things that you can choose to pay for. You can choose to sponsor a lunch. You can choose to buy things. But membership is free. I can't stress that enough. We simply want you to be part of the dialogue. We want you included. We want you to be here. So please reach out to us if you have a chance, if you're even remotely interested. We also have a Facebook group. Reach out to us there and we'll get you involved and get you part of the dialogue. We have a cool book club. We try to focus on local authors. So we're in a pretty exciting place right now. So that's today's episode. My name is Eric Nutting. I am the owner of the Growth Coach of St. Petersburg, Florida, with my beautiful wife, Diane. We're celebrating 35 years of marriage this week. And I've asked her to be a guest coming up so we can talk about the roller coaster ride of 5 kids and all the businesses that I have made her suffer through. And I asked her the same question that I asked Dan. I said, hey, is there anything off limits? And we just kind of froze. So that'll be an interesting conversation. So if you took the time to listen to this, thank you so much. I appreciate you. You are of value. We'll speak with you next time.